Greetings, walking disciples. It's another day with Jesus. It's May 13th, and it's episode 13 of our Mark in May experience. We have another day behind us. We have another day ahead of us. We're getting up and gathering our things now and getting things ready to travel again, because that's what we do. We stop, look, and listen at what's going on each and every moment of each and every day, because you wouldn't want to miss anything when you're walking with Jesus. So here we are, we're in chapter 9 and verse 14 is where we start today. Chapter 9, verse 14. You may have noticed we've got the nuns chanting this morning, giving the monks a break. We're going with the Gregorian chants of the sons of St. Cecilia's Abbey. We've got a little Tazo tea this morning, the decaf lotus blossom green with a little cream in it. Here it is. We've got the thyme and myrtle candle, and we are ready to begin. So let's take a deep breath and take off your pack and make this next 20 minutes all about Jesus and your journey with him. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and some scribes arguing with him. When the whole crowd saw him, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I ask your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so." He answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind can come out only through prayer." Well, verse 30. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." And that's another full day of spiritual experience with Jesus. And some very interesting things are said and done again as we keep walking with the man who, for some reason, we are magnetically attracted to and can't leave, yet we know nothing about where we're going or how long it will take, why we're here. It's just something we have to do. We're compelled to be here with Jesus. Let's walk through that again and remind ourselves of what our day was like with Jesus. Verse 14 of chapter 9. When they came to the disciples, so remember, James and John and Peter had been up on the mountain of Transfiguration, and the other disciples were not there. So I don't know if you were there or not. That's your decision. But this refers to when they came back down from the mountain. Remember, after the Transfiguration, they had the discussion about Elijah. And in verse 13, the last verse from yesterday, Jesus says, "But I tell you that Elijah has come. And they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him." This whole thing about whether Elijah's coming or he's going to be the one to come back and lead the way for the Messiah, that's the Jewish tradition, is that Elijah will come first, followed by the Messiah. And Jesus is saying, Elijah has come. Again, do you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear? Or are you looking for something literal and historical? Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased. In fact, all these things are happening all around us, and we're not able or willing to see them. Anyway, back to today. So they're coming down the mountain, and the text says, when they came to the disciples. So the disciples that didn't go were down here having this discussion with the man with a demonized boy, and apparently they tried to heal him and couldn't. Thus the story. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. So again, this ongoing pattern, even when Jesus isn't there, we have the scribes arguing with the disciples, trying to discredit them, find some illegalities that they can prosecute them on. And then all of a sudden, the crowd notices that Jesus is coming with his three, and they run over to him. And now he becomes the focus of their attention. And as Jesus is asking what's going on, someone in the crowd yells out, "Teacher, I have brought you my son." So now we know that we're being set up here for a healing. And the interesting line about this, in addition to saying, "I ask your disciples to do it," but they could not do it. And Jesus goes into this rant. Imagine being there with Jesus anywhere, and all of a sudden he says things like, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you?" Now, This is a good opportunity to show when literalism is valid and important. If we heard these today, it would be kind of a sarcastic, rhetorical question. How long must I put up with you? Well, Jesus here is being literal. Remember, everything's the opposite of what you think. How, you faithless generation, you haven't caught the faith yet. You're not there yet. And I need to know how much longer I need to be with you. How much longer must I put up with you? So he's assessing their faith and realizing it's going to take some more time. In the meantime, they bring the boy to him. And the boy has convulsions, obviously, and Jesus goes through and heals the boy. That's the kind of rest of the story. There is that line about the man saying, if you are able, you know, as Jesus responds, now sarcastically, if you are able. And now he's teaching, all things can be done for the one who believes. And here we get the complete, transparent honesty of the Father. When he cries out, doesn't yell, he's crying because he knows, I believe, but yet I don't. I have belief, but yet it's not 100%. I don't know if I trust you with this. I don't really know if you can do this, but I believe, so help my unbelief. And that's one of the most honest prayers you can have each and every day, because God responds to that honesty. So, with that being said, Jesus heals the boy. And remember how he healed him? Again, at least the third time, we're seeing this form of healing. It started with Simon Peter's mother-in-law. This is what the scripture says in verse 27. Jesus took him by the hand, right, and lifted him. And for Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and she served them, but for the boy, he was able to stand. He took him by the hand, he lifted him, and the boy was able to stand. This is how Jesus heals you. This is how he comes to you. This is how he works with you and walks with you every day. He takes you by the hand and he lifts you. And now you're in his command, right? If you let him do that, the day is his, as it was for this young boy. And then Jesus goes into another little segment where he tries to tell the disciples again about his death and resurrection, and just to prove that this is a faithless generation that doesn't understand the truth of the Messiah. Verse 32, but they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. So we haven't really got into that place where they're completely comprehending and seeing the God that is with them and what he's trying to teach them. So they came back to Capernaum. So what we know about Capernaum is, well, it's home base. And even Mark says here, he was in the house, as if all you have to say is the house, their house, as if they have a house there. So this leads to speculation by scholars that indeed Capernaum wasn't just their new hometown, but they actually lived there and would come here in between their journeys and stay and live, possibly. But Jesus asked him what they were arguing about, and then he teaches again. You know, and you've heard this before, he's trying to convince them this is something different and new, not what they're used to, not what they're used to with their traditional religion, right? He's saying, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Notice in Mark, we use these terms of all. That means everyone. That means every single person, not just the people of the Jewish faith or the people that are clean and holy or the people of the town. It's all people. You serve the world. Anyone you encounter, you must be servant of all. That's how you become first in the kingdom of God. And we end with this kind of foreshadowing of something that's going to come in a day or two, with him taking a child and telling us, whoever welcomes such child in my name welcomes me. So however you treat the most innocent, vulnerable, you know, people in our culture, in this case a child, however you treat this person, these people, whoever welcomes these in my name welcomes me. And of course it's a shortened, condensed version of Matthew 25, isn't it? You welcome the child, you welcome me. That is me you're welcoming. All right? You're not being like me and welcoming him. You're welcoming me. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. So a very spiritual, metaphysical teaching here, that we're all united, right? That there's one spirit. We welcome one, we welcome all, we welcome God, we welcome Jesus, right? We're one family, one spirit, one Lord, one God. We want to be part of that kingdom. And there we have it. Another interesting day, right smack dab in the middle of Mark. We don't know it's the middle, right? We think it might be near the end or maybe near the beginning, but we're just taking every day as it comes, which is a good practice for us. But before we leave today, Jesus has some words for us. Again, from Jesus Calling, Sarah Young's wonderful devotion. And we gather around in the evening and we dust off our feet and we have some dinner and we're sitting around recapping the day. And now Jesus comes over and says this: "Thank me in the midst of the crucible. When things seem all wrong, look for growth opportunities. Especially look for areas where you need to let go, leaving your cares in my able hands. Do you trust me to orchestrate your life events as I choose? Or are you still trying to make things go according to your will? If you keep trying to carry out your intentions while I am leading you in another direction, you deify your desires. Be on the lookout for what I am doing in your life. Worship me by living close to me, thanking me in all circumstances." Don't forget, tonight is our 7 p.m. discussion group. There's the link to that meeting attached to this email. And I hope you can join us, and we hope everything goes well for that. And we certainly do enjoy the conversation. It's literally like sitting around after a full day with Jesus and just sharing about things and questions. Amen. Well, I hope you join us tonight. If not, we'll be back again tomorrow with another day of Mark in May. And until then, may God bless you and reveal to you with clarity the message he has for you.